This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Deion Walker from Kentucky is one of the more interesting guys where I think he has some plays. He's 360 pounds. We'll see what he weighs in and the length and everything this week, but he's a monster. And you'd see him at the Senior Bowl. He's inconsistent on film. He was inconsistent at the Senior Bowl. The potential's there, though. Somebody's going to look at him and say, if he's in the second, you don't have too many guys that size who move that well. So if Kenneth Grant goes really early at his size, Deion Walker being like that second wave of monstrous nose tackle who's got some pad level issues. He has some inconsistencies on film, but if you can work with that, like, you can see when he does it right, it is great.
Steve Palazzolo, formerly of PFF with Sam Monson, now on their excellent podcast, Check the Mic. Sal ran into Steve, I guess, recently, and they had that conversation. Deion Walker.
Like a picture of those two standing next to one another. Isn't Steve like 6'10"?
6'9", 6'10".
He's a big dude.
Deion Walker, D-E-O-N-E, Deion. Elijah Badger, E-L-I-J-H-A-H. Elijah. Not that you need to know. You know, do you think when the teams send up the cards, how often is there going to be a spelling error?
I would say I would expect it to be very rare.
Okay. And it's not like a deal breaker. Like, if you spell it wrong, you don't get them. Might think I have that in my fantasy leagues. I do not.
I would hope not.
You don't have to spell anything in our fantasy leagues. You just have to be able to say it. That's it.
Are the cards, do the teams have, see, this is a thing I don't know about the draft. I should pay more attention. Do they have to write the name of the player on and then hand the card in, or do they have cards pre-printed with all, like, the player and his college and his position that they just, who are we taking? We're taking that guy. Okay, grab his card.
I think they write it, but maybe
they write it? Yeah.
That's a long time ago now. I don't know. In my mind, they write it, but there's also a helmet phone sitting there.
Right, so it's a while ago now. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know if they still even have that.
Yeah,
I love the helmet phone. I always wanted one. Never had a helmet phone. You?
No,
I always wanted a
helmet
phone.
Never had the helmet phone.
I have helmets.
I had SI for a long time. I had a subscription that came to, like, predating me working in media, even. Like, I loved the magazine, so when moved out on my own, like, I'm buying it, you know, not right away, but eventually. But, you know, I had the subscription. And, you know, year over year, like, for probably 10 years running, I had the subscription to the magazine. And I look forward to it every, you know, Rick Riley, Steve Ruchin, like, all these guys, like, these great writers, excellent, right? And then you see the TV commercials, back when there were commercials for magazines during sporting events, and all these incentives to, like, sign up. I'm like, I never got anything. I didn't get a football phone. I didn't get a
football
helmet.
Football phone.
But I've been paying for 8 years here. Where's my phone? You should just send me a phone out of loyalty. I've been giving you for all these years annual subscription, and I got nothing to show for it over here.
I don't know.
I just didn't sign up when the getting was good, I guess. I was ahead of it.
You got to cancel and then sign up again.
Right.
And then you get your football phone.
Yeah.
I can picture that phone. I can picture that ad. It's just a guy, I don't know, just something about it's familiar to me. I started to try to describe it, and then I realized I couldn't.
The phone itself or
the ad? No, the ad.
Okay,
the ad.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I can remember those ads. And the swimsuit issue. Don't forget about the swimsuit issue.
Sure,
that was
yeah.
very prominent in those days, if it's not anymore. Sal coming up at 5. We started on the Sabres today, and I don't know, 1% is not 0%, but there's quite a bit to like. And look, I mean, I'm sort of baiting you with, you want to admit buying in all this? One reason why, you know, it's not whether you buy in, but just maybe you'd be annoyed if they got close.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would be annoyed if they got close because they lost 13 games in a row and sat still.
And it's easy to play, you know, better now without as much pressure because, like, they're really not supposed to make it. So if they get hot and, you know, it's you're defying expectations, there's not an expectation that you're going to get anything. Whereas, you know, earlier in the year when they're losing 13 in a row, it's like, stop it so you can see. You're in a playoff spot when this started, right? That was Thanksgiving. They came home, swept California. I think they were third in the division when we talked to Kevin Adams on Thanksgiving Eve. And then they lost the next 13 times they played, including some incredible, you know, 4-0 with Colorado in the first period. And they lost that game.
Right.
2-goal lead in the third period against Detroit was mixed in there. They lost that game in a shootout, but still, they lost it. Or overtime. I don't remember. We were there. I can't remember what happened in that Detroit game. I just know they lost. I think it was in a shootout. Anyways, I could look
you
at
and
the
I
schedule.
Went to that game.
Yeah, we were at that game together. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a shootout.
Yeah, okay.
More of what comes out of the combine, and we might get into some of this with Sal, but I have from Underdog, NFL plans to recommend use of virtual measurements for first downs in 2025. Chain crew would remain on sideline as backup. They already did that. There's always these where they're going to, like, basically declare something. They were already doing it. What about the line judge pointing across his belly, you know, in the direction of a first down to signal first down to the referee is not virtual measurements. Someone's watching the game, the guy gets tackled, and the line judge, you know, comes in, turns on his earpiece, we're going, first down. That's not the chain gang. That's the opposite of the chain. That's somebody, you know, making that call from far away. So now maybe next year that's sort of like official.
Sure.
But what's the difference? Also, Jonathan Jones tweets, the league's internal data on the tush push revealed there was a 0% injury rate.
Okay.
There's concern over the potential for injury, but to date, there have been no reported injuries from that play. So this was Sean McDermott on Monday talking about the tush push after coming out of the competition committee meeting. You know, he referred to injuries.
Player safety should be at a premium, yada, yada.
And I said in our conversation with Sal about that, you know, he didn't have data. Maybe you'd want to have data before you go to the meeting, not after. You know, he comes out of the meeting, he can't get away with, like, after a Bills game saying, well, I haven't talked to the trainers yet, which may or may not be true. He doesn't have to tell you, you know, just like, I actually don't know what the injury status is because I haven't talked to anybody yet. But you just had the competition committee meeting, and he came out of it and was like, well, you know, injuries. But I don't know the numbers. That's something I'd want to know before the meeting.
Well, the numbers do not support the claim at all.
The numbers are zero.
Right.
And he did say in his comments on Monday, he made the point about the aesthetic of the play. The Bills are second to the Eagles in the use of this play. And together, the Bills and the Eagles have run it more than the rest of the NFL combined. So I don't know. McDermott might be conflicted here, where maybe deep down he doesn't like it. I mean, there's a lot about Allen running over the years that I don't think he was sort of simpatico with, but it worked, and mm-hmm. You know, all right, but we know that. And he maybe didn't have it when he talked about injuries on Monday, and then also made the point about, like, what the play looks like. It, you know, I said, just sort of thinking it through out loud on Monday, like, is it a football play? Ross Tucker on Twitter yesterday called it the football play. Like, the quintessential football play. Men are men, you know, and mm-hmm. Who's stronger in this play? You know, he's also an Eagles guy, but I don't doubt that he was sincere in saying that. And Bills, by the way, his two favorite teams, as he would tell you.
Yeah. Well, I did not catch this on Monday, and I it's one of these things I hope I can find if I'm going to reference it or even say it. I think McDermott tried to differentiate the way they do it versus the way Philadelphia does it. As he was talking and talking, he I think tried to create, at least give everyone listening the impression that they're not running the exact same play. To my eyes, it's similar enough what they're doing, and they've got guys behind Allen that help push him through the line. And that's the thing about, like, I don't disagree that lining up and just trying to smash the guy in front of you, like, I have no problem accepting that that is football. What the struggle has been all along is one or two or sometimes three dudes from behind the quarterback arriving after the snap and finishing the play by pushing the pile forward. That's a new thing in football that came in when the Eagles started doing it. Now the Bills, again, have followed suit. It's not as many people behind Allen, but there's usually at least one pushing him.
Right.
And that is, I think, when people say it's not football, that, I think, is what they're referring to. Not so much that you shouldn't be able to line up like the Eagles or the Bills or any team. You line up and I'm gonna try to push you off the line of scrimmage so my quarterback can get a yard. Okay, yeah, duh, that's football. But the idea of using the weight behind the quarterback to push, like we said, even when we were talking about this already earlier in the week, all over the field, that's being allowed now in a way that, to my eyes and my recollection, it was not something that was either allowed or encouraged. I mean, you just never saw it. You saw the whistle blow, forward progress. But now the cavalry comes in, and we got guys being pushed 7, 8, 10 yards down the field in the pile. And that never used to happen. And that, I think, is being generated out of the tush-push phenomenon itself and it being allowed at the line of scrimmage, so they're allowing it other places on the field. And that's gotten pretty muddy, in my view. Like, I'm not sure what to really make of all that, but the idea of it, in theory, not being a football play, I disagree with it, like, so I would line up with Ross on that to an extent, but the guys piling in late, that doesn't look like a football play to me. That looks like rugby.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. That's the distinction. Nobody's trying to ban the quarterback sneak.
Right.
Warren Sharp had how Washington was amazing on fourth down this year without running the sneak once. They had 87% or something conversion on fourth down without ever sneaking Daniels. I tweeted about that just to say it still sort of seems amazing to people on some level, fourth and short, fourth and one. We slowly are getting to a point where the down is not the point. It's that it's 1 yard. Or 2 yards. And if you have Allen or Hurts or Jackson or even Daniels or any number of guys, Justin Fields, you should almost never miss, right? Like, you should almost never miss. What one thing that's upsetting about Allen getting stopped in Kansas City, the Bills had the lead in the fourth quarter. And that play happened where he got stopped, you know, quote stopped on fourth and short, is there's so many other things you can do with him. You know, I mean, including throwing the ball, but just rolling out and different things. I'm not trying to make it, well, that failed, so you should have. It's not hindsight. It's just you don't necessarily want to settle for 1 yard on that play. And if they're all up in the box expecting the tush push or a sneak, that's when you can get them. Third and three should, like, never be behind the line of scrimmage for the Bills, you know, running plays and such. Go get it. And then you have fourth and three, which is, you know, still odds on you should make it on those plays. So, I mean, of course, fourth down means you have to lose possession if you don't get the first down. I know. But that's the thing. I think the overall sensibilities about those kinds of plays are just gradually shifting over to, like, well, it's still just 1 yard, you know, if that makes sense. Sal coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.